Hey guys, this is H-Town Wheelhouse, and I'm back at it. This is an H-Town Wheelhouse Quick Hit. And in tonight's segment, we're going to discuss the Houston Astros competition in the American League West. We're going to talk about the shifting tide in the American League East, and what we think as Astros fans about opposing fans flying cross-country just to boo the Houston Astros. And I've got some exciting news to share. The next H-Town Wheelhouse Quick Hit of 2020 is next. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. This is H-Town Wheelhouse once again. Let's get right at it with the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros, we all know, is old news. They hired Dusty Baker, an outside organization manager that had been out of the game for 2 years, 70 years old. A lot of people would think, why would they hire him? I think he's the perfect person to steady the ship, to deal with any controversy or rumors or questions that come their way about the past. He's going to get this club focused and they're going to move on. Then we got James Click, who came on from the Tampa Bay Rays, which was a phenomenal hire. This guy's primed and ready to go. Been with the Rays between 14 and 16 years. Grew up through their organization. Was an Ivy League grad. A very smart guy. We used to work for Baseball Prospectus. Kind of earned his way up, earned his keep, as they would say. And now the Houston Astros got probably a guy that no one else really had on their radar. I know of the names mentioned. From the Tampa Bay Rays organization, he was not one that was on a list or a different list that I had scoured or found on the internet. So we've got that in place. This team comes into 2020, I believe, with a huge chip on their shoulder. But what's interesting are the moves and the things that are happening within the American League. The American League East has traditionally been the Red Sox and Yankees, and of course, the Rays, when they are at the top of their game, are one of the top teams. They're always one, two, or three in that division. But it's usually described as the Red Sox versus the Yankees. And with them losing Mookie Betts and David Price, that doesn't make them a better team. It knocks them down a notch. And I think the American League East is going to be pretty strong with, I believe, the Yankees, the Blue Jays, and the Rays are going to be your top three teams. Obviously, the Yankees, I believe, come out on top. They've got Gerrit Cole, obviously. They've got a stellar lineup. They've got really good pitching. A word on them, though, James Paxton actually just had surgery. I don't know all the details off the top of my head, and I don't want to misquote anything medically, but he is going to be out 3 to 4 months. So the Yankees won't have him to start the year, which may in the end may help him and save his arm a little bit. But I don't know how serious the medical issue is. I know he had some things removed. It sounded like something that wasn't something that you just ignore or play around with. And so we hope that he does have a speedy recovery. We never want to see any ball players, whether they're our players or opposing players, go through anything like this or have to have any kind of surgery. So definitely keep him in your thoughts. But anyways, so the Yankees, I think, are your perennial AL East winner. And then you have the Rays and you have the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays, I think, have fortified their lineup. And the AL East should be a fun race to watch and to spectate. You know, the Rays are a team that you kind of like to pull for in the East, especially if you want to root against the Yankees or the Red Sox. And then the Blue Jays are going to be fun to watch because of their young talent. Their 1990s Hall of Fame dad superstars have produced these kids that are now major leaguers and future all-stars themselves. And so that'll be a fun race. An interesting move that I didn't see coming. Obviously, I don't follow other teams as closely as I follow the Houston Astros. But the fact that Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim got Jock Peterson added to their lineup on top of Anthony Rendon and Mike Trout, it just seems like they have really bolstered their lineup, and they will have a very good offensive team. Okay. I still don't know where they rank pitching wise, with the rest of the league, but Jock Peterson has the potential, to do a lot of damage. You know, last year he had, his most home runs as a major leaguer. He had 36. His strikeout percentage is right at like 21%. His WAR was at 3. It was at 3.5 in 2016, but he also played fewer games. Now, the most games he's played was last year with 149 games, but adding him to that lineup puts more pressure on opposing pitchers. And so the AL West, I believe, is going to be strong. The Houston Astros, I think, come out on top. The Angels, the Rangers, who have fortified their team, and they've got a new ball club. A new stadium opening up. And then the Oakland A's are always going to contend for some sort of wild card or playoff spot just because they're the Oakland A's. And I don't know that they get past a divisional round playoff game or playoff series if they even make it to the ALDS, but they're at least in the wild card picture for me. So it seems like the tides in the American League are shifting a little bit. The Twins stay strong with who they've added, with their pitchers, with their hitters. And I find it interesting that when you look at projected WAR, which is like wins above replacement, FanGraphs does a great job, and they literally take each team's position and they give the WAR for each position. Now, it's basically projected on playing time, not on any stats. So they're projecting their WAR based on what kind of playing time these players are going to get at various positions. And the Astros actually have, at their DH spot with Yordan Alvarez, have the absolute highest WAR of anybody in the league. The only other team that comes close to them, actually there are two other teams, I'm sitting here looking at this. Three teams. They got the Twins, the Angels, and the Red Sox. But the highest among those three is 3.3. And the Astros for DH are at 4.1. It's going to be amazing to see Yordan Alvarez in a full season. Now, their lowest WAR positions are catcher, first base, and right field. Now, I think right field will go up considerably if Kyle Tucker gets more starting nods than Josh Reddick. And that is the million-dollar question in the Houston Astros community, is that how much is Josh Reddick going to play? Are they going to trade him? Are they going to let him go? Is having these other outfielders, does that put more of a fire in his belly? Because I know last year, when Kyle Tucker came up, Josh Reddick was hitting nearly 500. I mean, he just started smoking the ball. The only problem, the only downside is, even though we know he makes amazing catches, and I don't want to take anything away from Josh Reddick, but if you go to the numbers, he grades out negatively in the defensive area as a right fielder. And that's hard not to... That's hard to ignore. But their highest WAR is Alex Bregman at third base, 6.3. Their second highest is shortstop, Carlos Correa, 5.8. And of course, I don't know if they throw in Miles Straw, everybody who's played shortstop. Second base, center field at 4.7, where George Springer is, and second base, 4.3, with Jose Altuve. And left field, Uncle Mike comes in at 2.9 WAR. But if you look at their numbers compared to other clubs, it's unreal overall how much of a shift that DH makes. Now, they're at 15.9 WAR with their starting pitchers, and that puts them in the top tier. But the The team that has the most team WAR for pitching is the New York Yankees at 18.5. I'm going to stop there. We're going to take a break. We'll do a commercial, and we'll be back to talk about what this means, team WAR and projected, and why that matters. Okay, guys, so I don't want to ramble on too much and drudge on, but I do want to just kind of capture something here with this team WAR, with these projections. These projections are based on playing time. They reflect the team's current roster. They don't reflect any stats whatsoever. It's like 2020, what are they going to be worth? How many wins above replacement is each position going to be worth? And again, like I was talking, your positions where your best players are, they have the highest WAR. If you take the overall WAR, the Astros are leading at 54.7. In second place, the Dodgers at 52.5 as a total, and the Yankees at 50.5. Now, the Dodgers have gone up, obviously the addition of Mookie Betts, so on and so forth, but it's amazing to see the differences in all the different numbers. I would encourage you, go to fangraphs.com and look up Team WAR 2020 projections, fan graphs, and you'll see this. It's amazing information. What I find interesting is the Houston Astros batting WAR overall for their lineup is 34.2. And there are not many clubs other than the Dodgers and the Twins that are actually Dodgers, Twins, and Angels are over 30. No other club gets there. Even the Yankees are as far down as 26.8. The Yankees leapfrog the Astros with 23.7 WAR. In other words, so those percentages are, again, wins above replacement. And so how many wins are they worth versus if they weren't there and they were replaced? So I'm explaining that correctly. And so, yeah, let me just kind of break this down for you. It's an attempt, basically, to summarize a player's total contributions to their team in one statistic. And so you can have this evaluating players. It says WAR is all-inclusive and provides a useful resource point for comparing players. Now, what they're doing is they're taking, okay, who's going to be playing where, how much playing time, who are at those positions, and then what's going to happen is they take all those projections of each one of those players and they say, okay, this is where they're going to be. And the Astros are in first place. Now, I don't think the Astros need to look at this or need any more motivation than what I'm about to talk to you about, is that opposing fan bases are encouraging their fans, or there are fan groups talking about going to certain games where the Houston Astros are playing, okay? If you hear me typing, I'm going to look this up real quick, okay? So there is a story that the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim have encouraged the Dodgers fans when the Astros come to Anaheim for their first home series with the Astros, that they come to their stadium so they can boo them. And I just, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I get it. The Astros are the bad guys, but it's like, come on. So like this Dodgers fan group is actually written about in the LA Times. It says they're considering scheduling because they are not scheduled to play the Astros. They're considering scheduling going to a game at Angel Stadium simply so they can boo them. And it's called the Pantone 294, the Dodgers fan group. That has delivered as many as 2,200 diehards to a Dodgers road game. So they travel in large numbers. They think, I think it'd be a really cool idea to do this. Why? I mean, focus on your team. Dude, you just got Mookie Betts. Like, of course, this news came out before the Betts trade, before David Price and all that stuff. But, I mean, quit bellyaching about 2017 and move the freak on, you know? It's like, come on. This is so ridiculous. And there's other fan bases. There's rumors of Yankees fans wanting to fly across country and to join them. And I'm like, how much of a preoccupied, I'm sorry, loser do you have to be to want to travel across the entire continent just to boo a team? Like, give me a freaking break. This is such bull crap in my mind. Like, you know, if you hate us, that's fine. Hate us. But if we're not coming to your stadium, wait till we play you in the World Series. Then you can boo us all you want to. Because last time we were there, if I remember correctly, we beat y'all's butt in L.A. Y'all got beat again by the Dodgers at home. So whatever, you know, you're mad that the Astros cheated. This is such hogwash. I just get so fired up. And I can't imagine how fired up the Houston Astros are going to be. I mean, the time is coming. And what is that old saying? Winter is coming. You know, let me tell you something, MLB, winter is coming. And y'all stepped off in it, as they said, where I grew up. And so I think we're going to see the Houston Astros really come out on firing on all cylinders. Yordan Alvarez is going to have a banner year. Alex Bregman, I would not be shocked if he was also in the MVP conversation once again and possibly takes a hold of it this year. If he plays motivated the way I know he can, there's no way he allows Mike Trout to one-up him or seven-vote up him like he did this last year. So, man, I could go on and on about this stuff. The bottom line is we got our GM, we got our manager, we've got the highest rated projected lineup totals. We've still got Verlander, we still got Greinke, we got Lance McCullers coming back, we've got Jose Urquidy, we've got Austin Pruitt, who I think is going to shine like Charlie Morton did, and we've got so many other things going that people aren't talking about, storylines like Miles Straw, Kyle Tucker, Abraham Toro, these guys coming up, Christian Javier coming up through the minor leagues. We still have guys like Cy Snead. We have a lot of tools in our back. The Astros aren't done. Does it suck that AJ Hinch is the manager? Yes, it absolutely sucks. I hate that. Does it suck that Lunau's not our GM? Yes, I absolutely hate that. But you know what? These guys are professionals and they're adults and they're going to move on. And they're going to fight. I mean, if you thought their fight was strong in 2017, like, dude, so now they're being told that title you won is totally illegitimate and you're not a real champion. And if that was me, that would piss me the hell off, dude. That's all I'm saying. The Houston Astros, I am predicting them to win between 95 and 100 games. I don't see how there's any way you keep them out of that win total. Now, the American League West, again, will be more competitive. I got to give it to them. I got to give it to the other teams. They've done a great job. Other than the Mariners, everybody's going to contend for some sort of playoff spot. So anyways, this is HTL Wheelhouse. I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I wanted to come back on here. Oh, and my exciting news, I will share next. Okay, guys, this won't take more than 90 seconds, but it's not official, but unofficially, as of right now, it looks like I'll be joining Locked On Astros as co-host with Eric Heisman. Now, there's details that have to be worked out. I still have to have a conversation with them coming up this week, but it looks like all things are falling into place. And so I will keep this podcast going and I'll try to do at least one or two quick hits a week, but you can catch me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter, at H-Town Wheelhouse on Instagram, at Strohs411 on Facebook. Check us out. And you can also find me at Locked On Astros. If you look up Locked On Astros on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and pretty much every social media platform that has really ever mattered. And so check that out. Yours truly will be joining Eric. I'm excited about that. And it is a daily podcast, Locked On Astros. So check me out there. And thank you for tuning in to H-Town Wheelhouse. This is H-Town Wheelhouse. Y'all have a good evening or a good afternoon.